Good morning. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives the laws for his people to live by. In today's gospel, Jesus quotes from those laws, which quote is also contained in today's first reading from Deuteronomy. When he is tested by a scribe on which is the first commandment of all, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with the intensity of your whole being." But not all of Deuteronomy is that gentle. Moses would also threaten his people, sometimes so roughly that, to quote here today, some of the language in Deuteronomy, used in Deuteronomy, would probably get me in a little bit of trouble. That is why in today's gospel, Jesus had to add the second commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Today's second reading says that the Levitical priest were prevented by death from remaining in office, sarcastically meaning that they were imposing harsh laws for a long time since they served life terms. Hence why Jesus had to come with his message of love, not condemnation, and that he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever, living even past the deaths of the Levitical priests. Some have likened the second commandment to the golden rule, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." But even the golden rule can be problematic. I wouldn't want someone looking after me who believed in euthanasia and followed the golden rule in my care. So to avoid that problem, the first commandment is also necessary, because only God can take life, and we love him totally. Following these two commandments can lead to logical, systematic consequences in moral theology. It requires a respect for life in both ourselves and in others. Jesus demonstrated this respect when, in all 18 of his healing miracles in Scripture, he healed both the physical and the spiritual. That is why Catholicism is non-dualistic, meaning our bodies and souls are meant for each other. This forms the fundamental basis of bioethics in hospital chaplaincy, and scientific studies have shown that the healing of the body and the soul are interdependent. For those non-Catholics who believe in reincarnation, the concept is the opposite, that is, dualistic. The body and soul are not inextricably linked, since a new body will come later. It isn't often discussed, but this leads to a drastically different moral conclusion. Based on reincarnation belief, under certain circumstances, one can kill their own body for a just cause. On a recent trip to Myanmar, formerly Burma, I was reminded of the Buddhist monks who immolated, that is, set themselves afire, to protest the then immoral political leadership. I recall seeing that on TV when I was young. In the early Middle Ages, people couldn't read, hence the printing press did not exist, that's why. So they would consistently ask their priests to tell them what to do in order to make moral decisions. Different priests were giving different answers or opinions. So to standardize the response, the church wrote the answers in multiple volumes called the Penitential Books. They attempted to address every possible moral challenge in life. In some ways, they were like the rough passages from Deuteronomy. Their effort failed, since not all circumstances can be covered. Now, I know you are probably now asking yourself the question, for God's sake, why is he going through all this history in this detail? It is because we are all blessed with the final results of today's church teaching on how to make moral decisions. We must start with the very first and second commandments in today's readings as the basis for making all our moral decisions. And because moral decisions often result in multiple consequences, such decisions can be difficult. That is why we must inform our conscience with all the facts, including but not limited to church teaching, scriptural texts, medical science, canon law, civil law, cultural context, and other applicable information. Then make an informed decision. The church no longer tells us exactly what to do in circumstances resulting in multiple effects, unless our actions directly violate the first and second commandments. So what is a practical example of this? The national midterm elections will be held in 2 days. You should not hear from clergy on who to vote for. Not because the church may lose its tax status, although that is a factor, but because the penitential books are no longer used or respected by the church. We must make our own informed decision. It must be based on the love of God and love of neighbor, not just in pious platitudes, but in practical implementation. Perhaps we can get a little voting advice from St. Thomas More, the patron saint of statesmen and politicians. Yes, there is a saint for politicians. Who gave up his life for faith and conscience. Of public service, he once said, "You must not abandon the ship in a storm because you cannot control the winds. What you cannot turn to good, you must at least make as little bad as you can."